And why don't we begin with Alana here on my right. She is the immediate past chairperson of the Israeli Group Relations Organization, OFAC, and she held that position for 4 years. She has a master's degree in both English literature and in clinical psychology, and she graduated from the executive coaching course at Tavistock Consultancy Service. She now works as a psychoanalytically oriented psychotherapist, an organizational consultant, an executive coach, and a supervisor. She has lots of group relations experience, and she directed OFAC's international conferences in 2008 and 2009. And it's convenient because the microphone's right here.
So I asked Shaula Haigan-Rishi what he was supposed to do, and she said speak for 10 to 15 minutes about the nature of group relations work sponsored by OFAC at the present time with emphasis on challenges and successes. Okay, so that's what I prepared. It seemed easy because having been the chairperson of OFAC, I introduced a New Year's letter in which I used to list all our challenges and successes, and the last one was fresh in my mind, and I just had to get a little bit of information, and here it is. So still I thought that the ACRI conference was an opportunity to at least mention some organizational dynamics before turning to work, because I assume that your wish was that we talk about work. And so I said, I thought some hypotheses pertaining to organizational development and vicissitudes, some reference to the organization as a basic assumption group, in order to provide the underpinnings for the organization as a work group. OFAC has proven to be a resilient group relations membership organization with minimal changes in its original values. The membership of OFAC has grown from 8 founders to around 70, probably its optimal and mature size, with a small cohort of international members and with about 30 members active in the day-to-day organizational work and life. So about half of the members are really active. OFAC, which became a membership organization in 1994, has for 24 consecutive years run an international group relations conference in spite of several wars, threats of attacks with unconventional weapons, and ongoing terrorist acts. The organization goes on being, has both an internal and an external active life, and seems motivated and robust. We in OFAC have not researched the issue of our organization's resilience, but have noticed that in the face of the collapse of many a group relations membership organizations in Israel and abroad, and in spite of our very tight budget, we have managed to survive and, I would say, thrive. I say this cautiously and would like, here at the ACRI conference, to begin reflecting upon the possibility and possibly exploring this issue of organizational resilience. A few words of introduction about the state of OFAC in the present. In recent years, there has been a generational shift in OFAC. The founder generation has moved aside and allowed the middle generation to assume central roles in the organization, specifically the roles of chairperson and of directors of international and local GRCs. We have an international group relations conference every year, and every third year, we have a Hebrew-speaking local, what we would call local conference. This transition was wrought, the transition from founders to non-founders, second generation, was wrought with pain and struggle. It has presented the difficult challenge of relinquishing power, of assuming it, of dealing with fear of autonomy, of facing mistrust, rivalry, fierce competition, envy, etc. The organization has moved from a predominantly dependent culture to a predominantly fight-flight one, from a vertical hierarchical structure to greater laterality and a more decentralized modus operandi. Currently, the chairperson, Judy Levy, is the second to hold the office that is not a founder. I was the first non-founder in that role. The directors of both group relations conferences, international and Israeli, are non-founders since 2006. Now, where is the evidence for the resilience of our organization, and more specifically, for a successful transition from founders to second generation? I suggest it lies in the work. And here I actually come to Charlotte's suggestion that I talk about what is being sponsored by OFIC. And I think that the work is evidence to the resilience. OFIC's group relations work directed inwardly for OFIC members and outwardly for the public at large is rich and plentiful. First of all, let me just tell you what the primary task of OFIC is. It is a relatively small Israeli organization, a voluntary professional body, whose primary task is to further the exploration and understanding of conscious and unconscious processes in the individual, the group, the organization, and in society as a whole, in order to contribute to the latter's development and change. Now, this is a new addition, in order to contribute to the latter's development and change. We have actually two schools of thought within the organization. The more traditional, purist school of thought says that it's enough that we exist and reflect within society, and as such we contribute. And this is the purist approach. And the addition that we have here, that was actually instituted when I was already a member of the board, not yet, still under the leadership of the founders, suggested that we have to go out there and work with society rather than just form a think tank. Okay, so here is the group relations work created for its own members. In light of the primary task and in order to meet the challenge of keeping the members invested, stimulated and motivated to cooperate and learn with and from each other and to continue their informed work both within the organization and outside in their professional and personal lives, the organization has over the years created vehicles for learning, reflection and exploration of organizational issues, of new theoretical and methodological developments, of relevant social topics pertaining both to OFIC itself and to Israeli and international organizations and societies. One such vehicle is OFIC Evenings, members' gatherings in which a designated subject is presented by an expert, whether from among OFIC members or from outside, followed by discussions in groups or a full forum, and a review in which an attempt is being made to reflect upon the relevance of the topic, the timing of the discussion, its nature, etc. I'll just give you a quick list of subjects we dealt with. We had Jim Kranz come to OFIC and talk about bricks without mortar, the decline of sentience in global organizations. Mm-hmm. Or earlier than that, we had the journey to breaking the silence around sexual abuse in the Jewish religious community. Mm-hmm. Or the large study group in the International Psychoanalytic Conference. Or the dialogue between the sacrifice motif and patricide as formative traumas and their influence on Israeli society. Or the dialogue between the masculine and the feminine in organizations of the third millennium. The wide variety of topics indicates the wish to deal both with the local social issues as well as with relevant developments in organizational life worldwide and with professional issues at home and abroad, so as to allow for reflection on relevant issues and test and retest the validity of a system psychodynamic approach. Then we have a yearly retreat. I don't want to go into too much detail. I have it all detailed. The subject of the last retreat was very interesting. It was OFIC Port Home, Anchorings and Voyages, which suggested, I think for the first time, an increase in flexibility and a further move from an orthodox mentality to greater freedom to explore other ports, other orientations, work methods, etc. So we have the evenings and the retreat. To enhance the learning of members and expose ourselves to international experts, and there is a great hunger for contact with the international community in Israel. In Israel, there's a great hunger for contact with the international community. We have for the last 4 years run professional developmental workshops. The visiting experts so far have been Gordon Lawrence on social dreaming, Earl Hopper on his basic assumption of aggregation massification and the social unconscious. And the last one was Ross Lazar on organizational observation based on the Tavistock method of infant observation. Then we also have, and it so happens that the organizer of it is here in the audience, since 2004, OFIC takes part in the Global Listening Post, and this is for the members. The event, initiated by Lionel Stapley Vopas and directed by Shmuel Bernstein, takes place simultaneously in various countries around the world at the beginning of each calendar year. The Listening Post, using group relations methodology and theoretical understanding, tried to tease out the central themes that predominated in the world during the passing year and offer some hypotheses about global interests and preoccupations. Again, OFIC is part of the global community and discovers more often than not that it shares its concerns with other parts of the world. And it's very important to take us out of our growing isolation. The last but definitely not least of OFIC's internally directed activities is our journal, Cover OFIC, published annually, that will soon see its 11th issue printed. This ambitious enterprise, which initially offered a stage for members to express thoughts, reflections, research interests, etc., has matured into a full-fledged periodical with an array of articles, written dialogues, and discussions on central organizational issues, directors' reports, so we're beginning to have a record of directors' reports, and more theoretical and internationally oriented pieces. The journal continues to be by and for OFIC members only. Okay, now briefly, the group relations work initiated, sponsored, and carried out by OFIC for the world beyond the organization. In recent years, OFIC has faced several challenges in its outwardly directed work. As mentioned earlier, the International Group Relations Conference has been run annually without a single interruption for 24 years. Here, the challenge in recent years has been dual. One, to reach a population within Israel from industries of which sentience and covert and or unconscious processes are unfamiliar or alien, a challenge faced by group relations conferences the world over, and two, to retain the internationality of the conference, to allow for a much needed and desired contact with an international community that is gradually becoming more critical and hostile towards Israel. Israel, which has in recent years been the junkyard for large parts of the world, has, alongside isolationist and righteous voices, a loud and determined wish for contact and cooperation with the world. In 2006, not a single international member registered. Yet the conference remained international through some of its consultants, the language used, and the holding of internationality in the mind. Since then, and not without concerted efforts, we have had in each conference up to 11 members from a large array of countries, not a small achievement considering real and imagined dangers that visiting Israel brings up. Another major challenge which OFIC has taken upon itself is to find ways to bridge between the system psychodynamic approach and the academic approach to learning. In recent years, there have been and are being planned collaborations with academic institutions requiring an adaptation of learning from experience to other approaches of learning. In February 2010, an evening entitled "How is Peace Being Made? Learning from the Experience of Others" was planned by OFIC in collaboration with two departments of the School for Management in Rishon LeZion. Brendan Dadi, who had been invited on the staff of our international conference, was a keynote speaker, and the panelists represented a wide spectrum of Israel's political and social map. The evening, which was open to the public, was very well attended and applauded. And in the among the panelists, we had a Palestinian Arab, who it wasn't clear that he would be able to make it to the panel because he had to go through several checkpoints on the one hand. On the other hand, we had a very extreme settler, and we had a military, a representative of the military, and so on and so forth. So it was really a representation of the different parts of our society. Now, the third major challenge, which for a while OFIC seemed to take on and is failing somehow now, has been the thematic conferences. The question of OFIC's actual involvement in society has been a much debated issue within the organization. The thematic conferences have been attempts to apply system psychodynamics thinking and methodology to issues of current social relevance. The conferences on Germans and Israelis, the past and the present, were started within the fold of OFIC, and OFIC continues to be a co-sponsor of these conferences. We've run 3 conferences on the subject of sexual abuse in the family and the society, 2 conferences on behavior on the road, and planned but were unable to launch a conference on dilemmas in the health system, on role, responsibility, on authority in time of change. Thematic conferences present the challenge of making the rigorous, purist system psychodynamic approach, its thinking and methodology, more user-friendly. There have been signs of awakening in this area, reawakening, and we hope to resume work on some of these projects. I don't have to say that advertising and recruitment have been challenges in all outwardly directed activities, and quite a taxing and often demoralizing one. For well over a decade, OFIT has also sponsored a 2-year program for organizational consultancy and development, the current class being the 5th. In light of the recent closing of the William Allenson White Institute's organizational program and its wider meaning, running the Israeli program is no small achievement. As is evident, OFIT works and thrives. The work done for members of the organization and for the public at large, the challenges that are taken up and those that are met, and the ongoing planning for the future serve as evidence not only for a successful transition from founders to successors, but also for the triumph of work of progressive forces over regressive ones. Thank you.
Thank you. Given our time, I would suggest that what we do, rather than asking questions after each person speaks, is that we just move on, and when we finish, then we'll take questions and a little more dialogue among the panelists, okay? The next person, before I get trapped here, The next person is Elio Vera. He studied philosophy and psychology at the State University of Milan and then spent some 20 years in marketing with several multinational companies. However, he is now the director of CESMA. Did I say that right? He's been teaching me Italian. I'm better at that than Hebrew. A business school in Milan, which he co-founded in 1968. Well, Elio has an extensive background in executive education and organizational development. He's here today primarily because of his involvement in organizing staffing group relations conferences in Italy. Since 1998, he has served on the staff of the annual Italian Group Relations Conference, known as the Arona Conference, in all roles, administrator, consultant, associate director, and as director. Elio?
Okay. Thank you very much. It was an honor for me to be invited here to present to you probably the youngest group relations conference, because we started in 1998. And I still remember very well the bench during the Leicester conference of 1997, where, when it happened to me, coming from Milan, to meet 2 colleagues coming from Turin. One was Mario Perini, that some of you certainly know very well, and the other one was Claudio Caffarena, that was a colleague of Mario. So what happened is that all 3 met, and we decided to start this adventure. We wanted to try to launch in Italy a group relations conferences. I was the director of the business school, so it was very easy to organize a further course, so it was not difficult to organize a further call from an administrative and logistic point of view. Mario and Claudio were one psychologist, the other one sociologist, so they had a good network in the area of psychology and sociology. So this was very useful to put together our experiences and have a recruitment that was not only in the area of psychology, but was only in the area of business. And this is something quite important, because in the first editions from 1998 until 2004-05, we had quite a lot, huge participation of businessmen, business people, about 25-30%. Antonio Bolzer, who from the beginning has been our mentor, told to us that it was quite an exception to have such a big number of the people coming from the business world, and we were very happy of this. I especially was very happy of this, because as Robert said, I spent 20 years working with international companies as an executive in marketing, because I am not a psychologist, I'm not a psychoanalyst, I'm not a I'm a marketing man, essentially. And as a marketing man, I want to say something very personal. As a marketing man, working in always in an international environment, because I started with Germans, Henkel. I went on with Unilever, Anglo-Dutch. And then with two American companies. One was a very important, still now, advertising agency, Young & Rubicam, I think you know it. And the other one is Chesbrough Pons. I don't know if it still exists, but at that time Chesbrough Pons was quite important in Italy in the area of creams and detergents and so on. So I realized that it was not enough to know very well the marketing tools if the people in the company that had to use these tools, were not able to work together. Were not able to be leader, to be followers, to be colleagues, and so on. So in the 70s, I know that I have very few minutes, but I think this is important to tell you the peculiarity of the Italian group relation conference due to this alliance. In the 70s, I discovered Leicester, because in the 70s, there was a group of about 90 people founded by someone called Gino Pagliarani, who brought to Italy in the 70s the Tavistock theories. So, when I met Mario and Claudio, we immediately decided to start in Italy a group relation conference. And Luisa Brunner, that also most of you know, Luisa Brunner, contacted me. In this period, when we were preparing the first Italian Group Relation Conference, contacted me through OFEC, because in that period, it was 1998, she became member of OFEC. So we started with the staff, the first edition with Antonio Bolzer, director, no associate director, Claudio Caffarena, the sociologist, administrator, and Mario, Luisa, and myself in the staff. And in this first experience, we had 22 participants. Okay, this is the beginning. I hadn't prepared nothing, but I have 30 pages. Because I wanted to talk with you before, and I am underlying how we started, because someone asked to me, it would be very interesting to know how you start. Okay. We advertise in two ways. We printed, I remember, something like 14,000 brochures, and we sent to different targets. One was the target of my business school, that was corporate companies, and the other was the target of Il Nodo, because the name of the association of Mario and Claudio is Il Nodo, and it was mainly public administration, healthcare, psychologists, consultants, medical sector. So the advertising, the marketing was sending a lot of brochures to specific targets. This at the beginning. Later, it was the word of mouth, because the experience was positive, and we increased every year until the edition of 1998, when we had 75 participants. That was for us a big result. In 2008, we had 65 participants. And in that year, it was such the enthusiasm that we also organized the conference in Sicily on the Etna mountain at 500 meters. There is a school of for training people. Come si dice agenti carcerari?
Warder in the prison.
Yeah,
prison.
For warder in prison. So this is a specific school for warden for prisoners. And we organized the conference there. We had only 17 participants, but it was very interesting because they were all Sicilians and the culture was completely different. So it was a unique experience. Anyway, the first three editions, 17 Sicilians, 16 Sicilians and one from Calabria. I know that someone from here is from Calabria, where Andrangheta is. Andrangheta is the most important mafia organization in Italy. Okay, the first three editions were run by Antonio Bolza, the first three editions, director Antonio Bolza, and associate director Francesca Cartona. Francesca Cartona, she's Italian, but she lives in London since 30 years, and also Francesca Cartona is well known. Then the fourth and the fifth edition, Francesca Cardona was the director, I was, for my first time, the associate director, and then Mario Pedini. And then we started to be directors, Mario, then myself, then Luisa, then again Mario, then again myself. And that was 2007, when I had the pleasure to work with Olia Khalidi. Olia Khalidi was my associate director. And in the previous editions, we had David Armstrong as associate director, Holton, and who else? Okay. Obolzer, Holton, Armstrong, Olia Khalidi. At that moment, something very important changed. Julian Lusada became the referent of the Tavistock Institute in this adventure, because we had three sponsors, CESMA, Il Nodo, and the Tavistock and Portman and HS Trust. Giulia Lusada became the responsible, and he decided that every new person, that it was time to give space to the youngest consultants, and Luisa was much younger than myself and then Mario, and he suggested that every group relation conference would have been a director for two subsequent editions. So we had in 2008 and 2009 Luisa Brunner, in 2010 and next time in 2011 will be Franca Fubini. So that means two women for four subsequent editions. And also I personally had to pass through a painful decision, that was to give space to the younger generation. And now I can say that the future of the Italian Group Relations Conference is certainly assured, because we are three layers of consultants. The oldest one, myself and Mario, the people from 50 to 60 years old, that are more or less 7-8 consultants, and at least three consultants, and one is here, is Ugo Merlone, in their 45-46 year old. So this is very good, because even if painful for us, but it is good, because certainly this adventure will go on. I think I've almost finished my time.
Okay.
But I have a lot of other things to say. And who is interested? I have a lot of things to say about the Italian specific culture. It is a culture where the mother is still very important. And this had certainly important issues concerning our conference. But for the moment, I stop. And then maybe we can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
let me just note that so far both of the speakers, and in fact Elliot in terms just for person, the issue of succession has come up in each of these in terms of moving from one generation to the next. And I have to say that's something I'm very aware of personally. Our next speaker is Dr. Michelle May, who is a registered clinical psychologist and is a senior lecturer in the Department of Industrial and Organizational Psychology at the University of South Africa. She was actively involved in the development and management of ISLA, the Institute for the Study of Leadership and Authority in South Africa, which I believe does not exist any longer. And she was part of the team that designed the Robben Island Diversity Experience, something really interesting, which began in South Africa in 2009. She is, I believe, the current director of that conference. Well, Michelle has a good deal of other group relations experience. She also has been very involved in the field of diversity management in South Africa, working as lecturer, researcher, and consultant in several organizations. Michelle, I don't know how to quite get this open. I think the wire was long enough, so yeah. There we go.
Thank you. Okay, I also just want to start by saying that I really do feel...
I think we turned that off.
Oh, thank you. I just would like to say that I also consider this quite an honor to be here and to speak with you about group relations in South Africa. So thank you very much for that opportunity. And it has done something else as well. In this year, for the first time, one of my colleagues started to speak with me about maybe we need to think about establishing or re-establishing a group relations organization in the country. So it is for me interesting that at that point, I'm finding myself thinking more about the history of the organization. What is also very interesting is that the people that I ask have no memory, and I myself can also not quite remember everything. So it says also something about what we chose not to remember. But I think I'll try to highlight what I consider to be the exciting parts. In 1987, this organization, the Institute for the Study of Leadership and Authority, called ISLA, was established by a trinity. Again, what is important about this, maybe before I speak more about it, is as I was listening to Elio, I was making quite a lot of links to what was happening in South Africa, and I'm not going to highlight those links, but I'm sure you will hear that link. So in 1987, we had this the Trinity starting ISLA, but what was interesting about the Trinity is that it was a matriarch. And it was Sylvia Poss, Lorna Brown, and Andrea Hill. And they had links with the Tavistock Institute, and the establishment of this organization was supported by the Tavistock Institute. The conference work was done, and we had many directors from, or at least three directors from the Tavistock Institute working in our conferences, with the purpose, obviously, of training us, but at the same time presenting these conferences. And that was Eric Miller, Anton Opholzer, and Manny Shea. So lots of opportunity for learning. I became involved in 1994 for the first time. And there's something I forgot to say. The other person that also worked with us was Linda Powell in the late 90s. So that was also very exciting work, and we have since then also tried to make connections with ACRI as well as with other group relations organizations in the world, but I think that never came to fruition. And I think that for me is a little bit about we didn't want to wash our dirty laundry in public. So that is why I think we went inward and worked much more amongst ourselves. So in 94, I became more involved, and also in 94, we had our first national chair. What is important to say is, because we had three matriarchs, we had three branches, one in Cape Town, one in Port Elizabeth, and one in Johannesburg. And in 1994, from the committees in these branches, then we elected the national chair, Lorna Brown. Then we have Wout Offerman and myself in 1996, myself in 1998, then Willem de Jager in 2000, and Rania Christie in 2003. In 2005, I think earlier than that, but the organization started to fizzle out. And for me, that was really about that we wanted to do the group relations work, but we didn't want to do institutional building. And I think that that is still around, because there's quite a number of people still interested in group relations work. They're doing group relations work as part of their organizational consultancy. So what happens is that they may have a program in an organization and they build a 3-day or a 5-day group relations conference into that consultancy work. But then, of course, pairing it with other ways like Rogerian work or narrative work, and then focusing as we do in organizational psychology on the individual, the group, and the organization all the time. So I think that is interesting to think about how, if we don't have a group relations organization in South Africa, how do we authorize ourselves to do the work? And we authorize ourselves to do the work through the sponsoring organizations of the consultancy work that we do. And another organization that is very centrally involved today is the University of South Africa, and specifically the department that I work for. And the work started in that department late 1990s with Professor Frans Lea and Professor Peter Quartzen starting that work there. And because I'm part of that department, I'm also doing that work at the moment. And of course, always then, we are authorized through our department, through our institution, to do the work. You spoke about RIDE. Again, that is a consultancy firm that has authorized the group relations consultants within South Africa to use what we call the group relations technology to run the Robben Island Diversity Experience. I think what for me is significant today is the whole around Robben Island Diversity Experience is that we, of course, primarily have been working with gender and race. It has been very difficult to move on to other diversities. But one of the diversities that's amongst us, whether we want to work with it or not, has to do with nationality and, nationality. So, in other words, what happens in these conferences is that we idealize or we have more regard for people coming from Western countries than for people that come from other African countries. And this is really, for me, disturbing, and it is very significant because it speaks about what we value and, of course, what we devalue. And I think that it is important to say that in the context of In 2009 and 2010, we have done work for the first time in Ghana. And again, it has been sponsored by, the company that has asked myself, actually Frans Lea has asked me to do the work on their behalf, to do leadership development on their behalf, and then group relations became part of what we offered them in terms of training. And it is for me really significant that in some ways we are trying to explore beyond the borders of our country how group relations can function in Africa. And we continually ask ourselves, if this is a Western paradigm, a Western model, what are we doing with it in Africa? And I think that has really been thought-provoking work. And I think that it is therefore that we are doing leadership work, but also diversity work, because we are really preoccupied with that question. So we don't have the answers, but what we are seeing and what we are doing, we really like that. And what I need to take responsible. First, I just need to mention one more name, and that is Marius Pretorius. He's the director of the consultancy firm TDCI, who sponsors the Robben Island Diversity Experience. I think it's important to say that. But as I have been thinking about what we are doing in the country around group relations work, is that the conclusion for the moment is that we are really involved and busy with doing the group relations work. We just do not have the energy to do institutional building. And at times we try to do that, and I think there has been some attempts this year. But in the end, I have to admit, I'm not sure when we are also going to have the energy to do the institutional building and not only the group relations work.
The last speaker is familiar, I think, to all of you. Jack Lample, who is currently ACRI's president, is, I don't know what to say, except something of a Renaissance man. He holds a BA from Harvard, as well as credentials in mediation from the National Conflict Resolution Center, as well as credentials in video production and a whole variety of group facilitation methodologies. As you know, his interests are very broad, and he has experience in community development, civil engineering, mediation, business, social justice-driven philanthropy, expressive arts, digital media, video production. It goes on and on. He also has adapted group relations work integrated with the arts to consult to organizations that most of us probably wouldn't have much to do with, organizations such as Disney and the Museum for Making Music. So I'm going to turn it over to Jack at this point.
So I'm not going to say a lot because I want to leave space for a conversation. And I'm having so many associations to this group here that I'm going to resist the temptation to dance my remarks. But you can look forward to that someday in the future, or not. I want to talk a little bit about how this panel came together in the planning committee, working with Sharla and Janet and Mickey. The sort of initial idea of the internationalization of our work, the fact that our national conference is now an international conference and it will be for the second year. I have all these associations sitting here about diaspora and tribe and, you know, what it is that we're collecting. And I find myself when people say, what do you do? And I try to describe what I do, and then I just try to describe what we do. I find that I often say, oh, and they do it all around the world. There are people in South Africa and people in Italy, and everybody says, that somehow gives it some credibility. And I realize that there's something in that, the importance of making these connections. And seeing the parallel within ACRI in the U.S., the struggles with the various places where our work is happening, at universities, at affiliates, and in some ways our own kind of diaspora, our own international organizations going on, because in some ways each of our affiliates are unique cultures and their languages and their representations. So I think hearing the diversity, not just of what you are all doing, but even the way in which you interpreted the invitation, I think is part of the challenges we face to how do we work together collaboratively. And finally, I also had this association to body work, to moving in the body, and to some way the process of finding all the pieces of life in one's body, or having a soup with a lot of ingredients. And I think the creative, exciting challenge we all face is, I look around the room, and what I know of you and what I don't know of you, and what you each bring, this is an incredible soup. We have incredible ingredients. And our boundaries and our tradition have tended to make us see less than what we represent. And so I hope this is the beginning of a dialogue internationally and nationally, that we can talk about how we can help each other out and how we can examine the differences. One last association I had was when you spoke about a Western methodology was colonialism, and just wondering about the way in which this work is experienced in other cultures. And I think that's an important thing to look at.
I think do you want to say anything specifically before we have a little dialogue here? Well, I don't know either.
Just one thing, maybe, because I've been thinking about your last question to me on Owada, which I never answered, and I thought to link it back to Bernie's and Evangeline's comments. And I maybe just to say really one short thing about tradition and innovation, because first of all, I'm Jewish, and as a Jew, we always are told to remember. You know, you can do everything, you can move on, you can, but you always have to remember. And where you come from is very important. And group relations has started in the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations with Rice and Miller and others. And that has been big shoes to step into. And I think in my role, in my leadership role, to connect to the leadership question, in my leadership role, it's not only a privilege, I think it's a big obligation to continue rigorously thinking about what we're doing. So I just wanted to say I haven't moved on or away from, but certainly I think it's part of my job to be on top of things, to innovate, to think, you know, to inspire. I think it has to be part of my job, actually. Even if I'm not able to do that, I will walk away. So that's, I thought I'd come clean on that.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. I want to make just one comment. I have come to know all of these people, with the exception of Jack, through the Belgerati conferences. And they have become very important to me. I think they also are very important to the A.K. Rice Institute. There will be another one in 2012. Come on over and meet some of these people, okay? Now, are there comments any of you want to make about what each other has said, or shall we open it to the wider group?
Of course. I would like to say something about the Italian culture, because I read something that you can find on the book that was published after the second Belgirate conference. I would like also to say that if we go to Belgirate, and if you like it, it's because of me. It's because of me, because I started using as a business school the Belgirate Hotel probably 35 years ago. And when AK Rice offered and were looking for a relocation, through Luisa Brunner, we suggested Belgirate. Belgirate was also the place where we ran twice the Arona conference, because now is Arona, because the main place where we do it is Arona. I want to read a few words about the Arona conference. The Arona conference is an event with a national character, a mirror of Italian society and culture. From this point of view, it can investigate also national vices and virtues. I open a parenthesis. Berlusconi is considered the person who incorporates the worst of the Italian vices. And that's why he wins. And he got, 70%, 60% of votes. So from this point of view, it can investigate also national vices and virtues in terms of organizational culture, political decisions, and modes of developing rules, authority, and leadership. Italy has always had admiration for foreigners, but also distrust. The habit of having them at home for centuries as a conqueror, predator, or liberator has fostered, especially in the South, a mix of referential worship and identification with the aggressor. The result is a sort of ambivalent love for all foreign things that has been certainly present in the Arona conference. The membership, and in a certain way the Italian staff, show a high respect for British culture, underline the Tavistock motto, but at the same time some people have felt vaguely annoyed with this approach, perceived as patronizing. This seems to be a fear of internalizing a Protestant work ethic, a too rigid vision, with an overemphasis on duties, punctuality, and responsibility. the tender. If you want, one day I will explain to you what happened in Sicily. Yesterday someone asked me, but Sicily is Italy? I said, okay, politically it is, but ethnically and it's something completely different. So, the tendency to emphasize rights and not duties, to arrive late and the cult of being free are very common in Italian culture, always mother-centered, if now maybe in evolution. Okay, I think I can leave.
Thank you.
Elio, I want you to fix the showers at Belgerate in this case.
Belgerate is the north. It's very different from the south.
Yes, sir.
So, which way should I turn? Michel, you said something that the significant diversity explored was limited to gender and race.
Yeah.
So what the image that came to me was if you couple that with sex and color, then that might open the group to get into other diversity.
Must I respond to that?
You can dance to it.
I couldn't.
Are you flirting with her?
No, sex and color, it takes us more to our humanity. And a comment I had, a question I had from you. You mentioned social relevant issues that OFEC has been examining. So since I'm a citizen of an occupier country, U.S., and a repressive country, Iran, I was wondering if OFEC has explored the issue of occupier and occupied. Because I think it's a very difficult thing to do. And if you have done it, you've done a great job. I'd like to learn from you.
It's definitely an issue that is being raised on various occasions. To say that we've explored it, to dealt with it, would be grandiose and ambitious. It comes up that we have made real efforts and we failed to recruit Arab participants. The most we have reached, we've had one or two Muslim Arab participants and several Christian Arab participants, but it has been extremely difficult. We've made enormous efforts. I know that when I was director, talking to different groups, meeting with different people, but it has been very difficult to recruit. And part of it, I'm listening to you, Michelle, part of it has to do with culture and fascination with the West and how much of Tavistock, the Israeli version, is Western, and how much of it is also appealing or addressing or inviting to the Palestinians within Israel and outside of Israel. So to say that we've dealt with it would be, but you know, the evening with Brandon Daddy was an example of an attempt to open this issue for discussion, but it's definitely requires much more work.
I'm wondering if I can respond also now. Thank you.
I think that I found a response to your comment, and I think that perhaps my point was that we're still mainly focusing on race and gender has exactly to do with what you are saying. Mm-hmm. That I think intimacy across difference is so dangerous that we're not going to go there. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen and that connections are not made, but the collective is still extremely afraid, and extremely afraid to touch a difference in an intimate kind of way. And it has, it also has to do something about the xenophobia that we are seeing in the country and the xenophobia that we cannot work with in the Robben Island diversity experience, because it highlights our aggression as well as our wish to work and to connect with the other.
That is why I'm saying properly with race and gender.
Yes, I mean there are other group, other organizations in Israel that use group relations methodology, and they are the focus is on conflict groups, and they specifically address, let's say, non-religious and religious Jews, and make enormous efforts to bring together Palestinians and Israelis. So, I mean, OFIC is, in that sense, deals with it. But I wanted to say something about OFIC specifically. Our international conference, and about territory, which is such a... the OFIC conferences took place in Ramot, which is beyond the Green Line. And that in itself has been quite a point of contention, with international members sometimes refusing to come because it is beyond the Green Line. So, I mean, the underlying the conference are a lot of these issues. How much we can talk about them is a different question. And I must say that it's very difficult to address. Definitely within Israel, it's much easier to address when you are in the United States.
So, not easy to address here either.
I'm sure about that too.
We have time maybe for one more comment or question.
I was Carlos. Curious about the role of mother. So if there's time, that you know, maybe speak a little bit to him.
You mean Italy?
Right. Well, and the role of mother, not just in Italy, but you know, maybe his perspective. And,
well, yeah.
The larger.
Short answer.
Short answer. It was that. Probably this comes from the strong influence that southern Italy had in the centuries from the Arabic world, I think. Well, probably the family has a similar importance as it is in southern Italy. In southern Italy, there is a very precise differentiation between the role of the mother and the role of the father. The mother is the real king of the family, and the father is more the one who provides the means to provide the living. So that means that in the conference there is a strong dependency from the authority, from those who have the role of director or the staff in general. But there is also, as in every family, moves against the power of the mother in particular, because I tell you, the mother is very important in Italy, more than the father in some way. So there is a dependence and a counter-dependence that is continuously expressing during the conference. But and even in the staff, so it is difficult to be... The reason why we have four times women as directors is also because we want to investigate the relation between the staff and the director, but also the participants and the female director. So it is also a research on this because of our culture.
Okay, I'm sorry there isn't any more time. I want to thank each of you.